Welcome and thank you for joining us on the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, where we want to give you tips on staying healthy and even expose common myths about health and aging so you can enjoy a healthier and active life in the amazing South Sound. Brought to you by Dr. Jennifer Penrose, owner of Penrose & Associates Physical Therapy.
My name is Dr. Jennifer Penrose, and today we're going to interview a client of ours, Tom, who did the 8-week weight loss program we offer and was able to lose 38 pounds and, more importantly, get off insulin. So we are really focusing on the diabetic component on this podcast with this program. So welcome to the podcast, Tom, and thanks so much for being willing to share your story with others, especially for diabetics and pre-diabetics that find themselves pretty frustrated. So welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So let's just start with explaining your story, kind of how long have you suffered with diabetes and when that all started and your journey with some of the insulin medications, weight gain, and just kind of start when you got diagnosed and how.
Well, the official diagnosis was actually in 1998, which was 24 years ago. And it was kind of a shock because, you know, I was fairly healthy. And when the doctor called me and said, you know, your A1C was up and I'm diabetic. But in hindsight, with that, it actually started earlier than that. I'm a Vietnam veteran. And I spent 16 months in Southeast Asia, both Vietnam and Thailand. And I was more than exposed to Agent Orange. I was actually handled it when I was in Thailand. And Agent Orange has been determined to be a presumptive condition for diabetic compensation within the VA. And what happened is in 1975, I was out of the service. I was in college and I didn't have any benefits, but I'd sit down and have a few beers and some chow with some friends, and I would get literally violently sick.
Ugh.
I would just really felt bad and things like that. So I went to the VA hospital because I was a student. I didn't have any benefits. And they diagnosed me in 1975 with having a pancreas disorder. And it was kind of like, okay, what's a pancreas? So actually the tendency was there because, like I said, Agent Orange has been determined to be a presumptive condition if you were served in Vietnam and parts of Thailand. So that's when it all started. Well, being in 1998, it was kind of like, okay, I went along. They had me change my diet a little bit and put me on metformin. And I heard along the way that metformin was good for about 7 years. In about 2005, I got put on insulin. And the most frustrating thing about going on insulin is the doctor I had at the point in time, every time my A1C would go up or my weight would go up, he'd just add the insulin. And within the first year, 1 to 2 years of going on insulin, I gained over 100 pounds.
Oh my, that's rapid.
It was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? I just can't stop this. You know, I'm buying new clothes. I was in a professional position, so I was buying new suits. And it was just continually just expanding. And I also started to have, you know, joint problems. I started to have knee problems, things like that. And it wasn't until about 10 years ago, I was at the VA hospital in Seattle, and I had a young University of Washington med student who was doing an internship, and we're going over my insulin. And he said to me, we're going over my medicines, and he said, you're on a lot of insulin. And at that point, on the short term and long term, I was on a total of 165 units of insulin a day.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a lot. And he said, are you aware that insulin creates weight gain? And the light went on. It's like, okay, now we're starting to figure something out here. So I knew that the long-term journey was to get off of insulin, but how do you do it? In hindsight, with this thing, I mean, I was fighting something that I couldn't deal with by myself. I needed some help. I looked at different eating programs, but the insulin was the culprit to what I was dealing with. And anybody who's diabetic should take a look at really what their experience has been, because the more you eat, okay, your system transfers your carbs over into energy, and what it doesn't need for energy, it puts into storage, which is fat.
Yep.
So that's been a challenge that I've had with this, and we can talk a little bit more about through this podcast about what the TOS program has really taught me on this whole process.
Yeah. Tell us a bit more about other things you tried before we chatted at a health fair and you did this 8-week TLS program with us. What other things did you try over the years, and kind of maybe even highlight some of the differences with the TLS program that you did with us?
I've tried Weight Watchers. I've tried it as a formal program. I've tried it on my own. I tried Nutrisystem. And really, I think what a big difference between TOS and all these other programs, the other programs tell you what not to eat. TOS program tells you what to eat. And the thing I really learned here was the importance of protein and fiber and how it impacts the metabolism. And throughout my research over the years, I had really been looking at this whole issue of how do you change your metabolism and how you process everything, and then the importance of fiber and protein. Let me give a story on protein just recently.
Oh, this is a good one.
I got done playing golf here a few weeks ago, and I went in with the other guys I played golf with and had a couple beers. Well, somebody ordered some French fries and tater tots. So I'm sitting there, I'm eating tater tots, and I'm dipping them in either a honey mustard or a cheese sauce, I don't remember what. And I get home and I check my meter, and honest to God, I had spiked up to like 276 on the glucose level.
Yep.
And it literally took me a day or two to get that back down. So I was talking to the one nurse that I work with the VA also about that. She said, next time, she said, order chicken wings. Well, my mindset is chicken wings are fat. You know, you got skin and everything else. So the next time in there, I had two beers and I had chicken wings, and my reading never went over 140. That's the importance of protein.
Yeah.
Versus fat.
Yeah. And Tom and I had discussed this earlier about the program, and there's so much information that we feed that he's going back through some of the modules again. And one of them does hit on protein about if you're going to eat, let's say, a dessert or something that's going to spike your glucose a little bit, like what he was describing. If you can have protein, it'll help blunt that glucose response. So if you're going to have like a couple bites of dessert, try to have it after your meal, like right away, and not wait 2 hours in between and have this sugary thing all by itself. We teach kind of those principles in the program so you can figure out what you can do should you want to. But when you're actually following the strictness of the guidelines, you don't get to go have two beers and tater tots, in case anyone's wondering.
No, that was a lesson. So the other thing on the protein that I found has really been valuable is I always have almonds with me.
Yes.
And it's surprising, you know, you don't need very many of them. In fact, a good example was last week I was in the pool. You know, when I started in the pool, I was in there for about 2 hours. My reading was like 150. And I check it every half hour because I have the continuous glucose meter. And I take my phone down by the edge of the pool and I can actually get the reading. At one point, as I was finishing up, I was down to 90.
Woo.
And I don't like to be below 100.
Yep.
So I just literally reached in this bag I had right at the end of the pool, probably grabbed about 8 almonds and finished up my pool stuff. And when I got out, I was 110.
Yep.
So the almonds, they're not bad for you. They're actually really good for you as a protein, and you just have them with me all the time.
Yeah. They have some fat. I mean, it's like a, you know, healthy nuts are good. It's just one of those, like having the 8 is a perfect like serving size, right? So, I mean, if you sit down and have half the bag, we might have some problems, but yeah, the almonds and the healthy nuts are definitely a way to go. So I'm glad that you've kind of found what works that way. So tell the listeners a little bit, like, why did you decide to sign up for this program? What spoke to you the most, and what were you most excited about? Because you and I were chatting at that health fair a little bit, but what really made you say, you know what, I'm going to do this?
Well, I have two very bad knees. Carrying all this weight around, and you know, it's kind of the lifestyle I've lived over the years, being pretty active, that I was told that I could not get the knee replacement until I got my body mass index down to 40, and I had to lose 40 pounds. So at that point, that was the driver. And it's not really the driver anymore, because being on the TOS, my inflammation has gone down tremendously. I can play 18 holes of golf and I don't feel my knees at all, which is amazing, because I'm still getting 10 to 12,000 steps a day.
Yeah.
When I'm out on that golf course, and to be walking around and not having any pain is just really remarkable to be able to move. And it's just one of those things. The other thing that we just kind of became aware, it kind of dawned on me the other just recently, was that before, when I'd play golf, I would take Tylenol, ibuprofen, either before or after the things. And I just realized in the last 2 months, I have not taken any Tylenol or ibuprofen because I don't have the joint inflammation. And even to add that, my wife has been eating a lot of the same type of things I have. And we're sitting there one day, and she just takes her one ring off her one finger, and she slides in another finger. The inflammation, the swelling in her one knuckle has gone down, and she can actually wear the ring on the correct finger.
Oh, yay! We call that collateral benefits when the other person in the house who isn't necessarily doing the program, but you're sharing the same meals, so they start getting collateral benefits from eating that way as well. And I just want to point out, like, I think it's great that you mentioned the inflammation piece, because I do try to tell people that this is really an anti-inflammatory way of eating. And yes, it's great. If you lose 4 pounds, that's equivalent to 16 pounds off the pressure of your spine or your knee. So it's like a factor of 4. So if you lose 10 pounds, that's 40 pounds of pressure off your knees. But for really, I think the real benefit is the anti-inflammatory piece, because Tom, you still are on a pathway of trying to even lose some more weight. So we know it's not just the weight that's making your joints feel better. It's the anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, I feel better all the way around.
Yeah.
I mean, I can move better. I can do things. In fact, I used to walk the 18 holes, and a couple years ago, I couldn't do it anymore because it was just exhausting and I'd be so sore. And I sold my Bat Caddy, which was a battery-powered push cart. And I said to my wife just recently, I said, I wish I hadn't sold it, because right now I think I could walk 18 holes of golf.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm probably going to buy another one. Because, you know, it just changed so much in what I'm doing. And then, you know, the other thing too is just, it's easier to get around. Literally, when I sit back and look, I mean, I've lost 38 pounds during the program, but I've also continued even through the holidays. I've lost another 4.
Yeah, and you weren't trying to stay strict during the holidays. You were just like, well, I'm going to understand the principles, but I am going to kind of deviate a little bit because I want to enjoy things with my friends and family.
Yep. And see, the other thing too that I really noticed that was frustrating with me is I'd sit down, I'd eat my 3 meals a day, and then in the evening I would sit down and I would get these cravings. And there's no doubt in my mind that I was dealing with some sugar addiction.
Sure.
And literally in the evening, I would eat a 4th meal, just sitting there watching TV. And I don't have those anymore. Maybe I probably reduced those cravings by about 80%. And if I do have something, I just go have a shake.
Yep.
The shakes are great. You can add fruit to them. And the other thing I've done is I use the powdered peanut butter.
Oh, yeah. The powdered peanut butter is great. I love adding that to the
the chocolate.
The chocolate. Yeah. You want a peanut butter chocolate shake? Yeah. The shakes, for our listeners, you are on these protein shakes. And they taste so good. They're not chalky. And the vanilla one, you can add tons of fruit to if you want to. And the chocolate one, peanut butter is a great thing to add. And they really do help, because they have, I think it's 19 grams of protein with 2 scoops and then 10 grams of fiber.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you try to go find an equivalent shake, you have to almost buy 2 products, because most of the protein shakes out there don't have enough fiber in them. And then they have way too many carbohydrates in them and sugars. Whereas this one, I think it's 2 grams of sugar, if I remember right, on that label.
Real low.
It's very low. Yeah. But it tastes great.
Exactly. Well, you know, the nice thing about it is that I rarely get hungry, like in between meals, like I did before.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do, the shake is the answer.
Yes.
Just go, you know, go grab the shake and, you know, just blend it up. And it really does takes that edge right off.
Yeah.
It is good. You know, the other thing, too, I want to mention is that when I did the measurements around my midsection during the program, I lost 8 inches.
Yes.
Now, what did that 8 inches do? Okay, I've had to buy new clothes,
mm-hmm.
new pants, and I'm probably going to have to go buy new ones again. I can see going down, but I've gone down 2 pant sizes. But the other most interesting thing is my wife has a car that sits very low. And every time I would get in the car, I had a setting on the seat. I called it max, the maximum. And it would take that seat all the way down and all the way back so I could get in and out. And then once I got in, then I could hit the setting for Tom. And then it would bring it up into what I needed for the driving. And I can get in and out of that car now without having to go into the max.
Ah.
I can just do it to hit my driving setting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're a big guy, it's hard to get in and out of these low sitting cars.
For sure. Yeah, no, it's a good thing to point out to people. We do have people send in weights and measures weekly. And the reason for that is just to see, it is a fat burning program. The way you eat with this program is you keep your blood sugar very stable. You avoid the spikes and the lows, and that's why you're able to burn the fat. So his inches that he was talking about there, 1 inch off your waist is equivalent to 1% body fat. So you definitely lost, what was 8 inches, you said?
Yeah, and I went from 47 to 41.
Yeah, 8% body fat lost in that time frame. So that's incredible. On average, just so listeners know, we've been doing this program for a couple of years now. And on average, the people usually lose 20 pounds in 8 weeks. And the average is about 4 inches off the waist. And so obviously yours was more than that, but it is just kind of nice for people to kind of get like an average. It is kind of we coin it a low glycemic impact eating style. If people are kind of trying to figure it out, we don't count calories. We don't count points. You can have pretty much unlimited vegetables when you're in the program. If you're hungry, it tells us you didn't have enough vegetables. And if you are a diabetic and have medications, you do have to work pretty closely with your health providers, because as Tom found out, he definitely had to adjust things very, very quickly so his blood sugar didn't get too low. And I think we had to add protein in the evening for you before bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I grabbed some almonds or something like that. See, the other thing here that really, there were three things that actually came together in going on the TOS program is I got put on this new drug called Ozempic, which kind of reduced some of the insulin. And then I also got a continuous glucose meter. And one of the reasons I started to run into the low was I'm going on to Ozempic, and I was just on the introductory level. And I started getting hypoglycemic readings, and it was a nurse from the VA that said, we need to get you off the insulin. And because you start getting, waking up, and there was an alarm on my phone with the continuous glucose meter. And, 3 a.m., I get an alarm signal on my phone because it's next to the bed, and I get up, and I'm 54.
Ugh.
That's low. That's dangerous.
Yeah.
And so we started to go ahead and, get off of the insulin. And my message to anybody that's diabetic is you want to get off of insulin.
Yes.
Okay. Like I say, it causes weight gain. There's a lot of other factors you're finding out. But back to what Jennifer was saying about the vegetables, you can have just about anything. I think one of the biggest challenges I had was, how do you have vegetables for breakfast?
Yes.
And, it starts out, you kind of think, okay, what's breakfast? Okay, bowl of cereal with some fruit and some almond milk. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, if I'm going to do that, it's going to spike.
Yeah, the cereal will spike your blood glucose.
Because you learn really to read labels. And you look at these, I don't care if it's Honey Nut Cheerios or shredded wheat, the second ingredient is sugar.
Yep. The cereals are awful.
And I mean, it spikes it. So you got to really deal with that. But back to how you do the vegetables, what I found, and McCoy helped me with this when I was working with McCoy, the nutritionist here.
Yeah.
Is it, like this morning, I had scrambled eggs with some sauteed heirloom potato or tomatoes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can take bell pepper, onion, mushrooms, just saute them and then scramble an egg in it.
Yep.
And it's a tasty breakfast.
Yep.
And the other one is that I just had this past week was I found a recipe online for vegetable hash.
Yeah, I was just going to say, vegetable hashes are really great. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, carrots and just onions and bell pepper and things like that. And then the other thing that I have kind of gone a little bit off program is that I like sausage. So I can get turkey sausage crumbles and throw that in there with that, and it's just a good, tasty breakfast.
Yeah, and turkey sausage, we definitely that's a lower fat content for sure compared to like pork.
It's like a fourth of it.
Yep, so we do recommend if people, if they still have weight loss goals, again, it's all about the education. Like, can you choose turkey sausage over pork sausage? Read your labels. And if you choose to have the pork sausage, well, then make sure it's just like once a week or twice a week, not every day. Like,
no.
Yeah. So we give choices and just kind of like, just know when you do that, then later in the day, don't choose another meat product that is also high in fat. So you kind of have to kind of look at your week as a whole with that. But that's, breakfast hashes are great. Some of the grab and go things that I've done is make a pan on a Sunday like an egg scramble, like those muffin tins, right? Like egg bites, like make my own egg bites. And then during the week, and I'll put them in the fridge after they're cooked, and I can just heat them up real quick in the microwave and have the egg bites on the go. So if you're an on the go person and sitting down to make a a big breakfast is overwhelming, which I can relate to, or I have a bunch of hard boiled eggs that are pre-made, and I'll cook up, blanch some spinach real quick.
Yep.
And then put some balsamic vinegar of different flavors on it, because I don't want spinach by itself. I have to have flavor.
Yeah.
And throw some cherry tomatoes in there and it's good. But yeah, breakfast is probably the biggest thing that people, I think, have the biggest challenge with getting out of the habit of the cereal or the bagel or the croissant, you know, the basically the carbs, the refined carbs.
You mean the apple fritter?
Yes. Yes.
That's off the list.
Yeah. So it is one of those. And again, after they get through the 8 weeks, it's like, okay, if you're going to have, let's say you do want to have 4 bites of an apple fritter or half of one with somebody, well, then make sure you have eggs and other, like protein.
Yeah.
So that you can blunt that glucose. It doesn't mean you need to avoid all wonderful things in life of things that you enjoy. So we kind of went into that a little bit.
Let me add one more thing about the food.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of recipes.
Yes.
And the recipes are really good, because what you really learn is you really learn how to spice up different types of things. I mean, we've done a lot of things with ground turkey.
Yes.
And the other thing, we'll go to Costco and get one of the roasted chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll pick it clean, and then we'd have that chicken. We've done stir fries and all kinds of things with that. And then, but the other one has been the soup, the vegetable soup.
Oh, yes.
Every week I make a big pot of that and I have it in the refrigerator. And when I get, you know, I'm home from someplace, I'm a little bit hungry, and I just literally have a bowl of that soup. And now one of the things I've done to put protein in there is I throw a couple cans of beans, you know, black beans, kidney beans.
Yep.
And you start adding, you get some protein in there, but you know, you got zucchini squash, yellow squash, onions, bell peppers, celery. It's all good vegetables. And what happens when you first make it, it's okay. But after it sits for about a day or two, the flavor really comes out, because you got Italian seasoning in there. There's parsley in there. There's salt and pepper. There's garlic. And it's really tasty.
Yeah. During the week of detox, I don't know how anybody makes it through. And just for our listeners, the week of detox is a lot of produce, a lot of vegetables. And I don't know how to make it through that week without making a huge pot of vegetable soup. And whenever I would get hungry, I would just be like, all right, I need another cup of soup, and go heat it up. And it was very tasty. And I agreed, by the end of the week, it tasted better than the first day.
Exactly. See, the other thing that I think on eating that we really found out is that, like, my wife likes to make goulash and do things with pasta. And we found that there is a product that's made of chickpea pasta. I think it's Banza, B-A-N-Z-A.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it is really, really good, because then you can have, you know, turkey meatballs, and you can have Banza chickpea spaghetti with sauce.
Mm-hmm.
You got a meal there. I made some macaroni salad last week, and it was just literally, you know, it was a cucumber, the tomato, the cut up carrots, and that with the just chickpea pasta.
Yeah. How did your meter do with that? It
was fine.
It was good. Okay.
Yeah.
The chickpea pasta, it sounds like you have a nice balance of the other vegetables in there too. And sometimes the carbs on that can still be a little bit high. But I mean, as long as you're kind of balancing it out with everything else, it's not just it's not mostly, like my children, it would be like mostly pasta on their plate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's what I love about this program, is we call it finding new favorites.
Yeah.
Because if you're really going to live this lifestyle out and keep making good decisions with food, you got to find some new recipes that you actually really love and enjoy. Because I get bored with chicken and broccoli. I'm sure everybody else gets bored with a salad and chicken every night. You got to come up with variety and variety of flavors. For sure.
Well, the nice thing about this compared to the other one is it's not about what not to eat. It's about what you can eat.
Yeah.
That's the critical part of it. In fact, quite often my wife and I go out to dinner quite a bit, or dinner or lunch or whatever. And, you know, rather than going out and get the hamburger with the hamburger, the bun, the cheese and everything else, grilled chicken sandwiches are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the chicken breast. It's that the vegetables. It's got the lettuce, tomato, onion on it. And you just got to be a little careful with the bun.
Exactly. I mean, the bun is just a way to get that thing to your mouth most of the time. So, yeah. And they do have, I don't know if you found these in Fred Meyer, and they might have them at other places too. It's just where I found them, but they call them puff buns, and they're frozen in the freezer section, in the healthy kind of frozen section. So puff buns, like P-U-F-F and then B-U-N-Z. And they're buns that, now on the label, it says keto, but it's basically cream cheese and egg made out of that. So there isn't, the carbs is really, really low. And that is what I use now for my hamburgers or when I'm making anything that needs kind of a bun or a sandwich at home.
So you avoid the wheat and gluten.
Yeah. Well, my husband, when he went through this program, he found out he was gluten sensitive. So he gets swollen. His face will kind of get a little bit puffy and his feet get hot and itchy and he just gets fatigued and he just doesn't feel good. He can have it, but then he knows what he's signing up for. Right. So it is one of those. I try to avoid the gluten in our house for him and I, but the kids, they love their gluten. I think that one's going to be a harder sell. Let's talk a little bit about the supplements in the program. So I think that's something that people, once they love all the education piece, they love kind of the concept of the program, and then they hear there's some supplements. And I think that I don't blame people. The supplement industry is kind of the wild, wild west. You don't always know what you're gonna get into. But let's talk about those a little bit. There's a few, and they're plant-based, and they've been shown to help with improving blood lipids, and they inhibit carbs from being deposited as fat. And they help with leptin sensitivity. So that one in particular, the core, has leptocore in it. That's the one I'm talking about. Did you kind of notice when you would take that, how it would affect your glucose readings?
Yes. In fact, sometimes I would forget to take it and I would watch my readings.
Oh.
Because you got to take it, you know, like a half hour before the meals.
Correct.
So yes, it did make a difference on that. And because I looked at, you know, the ingredients and things like that, and I was trying to understand what was going on with it. But yeah, the core was critical. You know, all the stuff in the shakes.
Yeah.
Things. The only one I didn't like was that one in the morning, that breakfast one. First one.
Oh, was it the vitamin drink? This kind of because it was too sweet? Did it taste too
sweet? I just didn't like it.
Yeah. That's what I take in the morning for my vitamins. But the powder with the water, I think I had another patient who ended up asking if she could put, I want to say it was apple cider vinegar.
Really?
To bring, yeah, I thought that was an interesting request, but I was like, sure, you can mix it with that. I think it was because she wanted to bring that sweet, like kind of make it more tart.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the only one. I just, but the core, and then, like I said, the shakes have been great.
Yeah. And then there's that fiber drink that you have to do the first week of detox, that like a scoop of fiber powder. It was, I think, usually in the morning or in the evening. And we've learned, McCoy and I have learned, anyone who is pre-diabetic or diabetic, we want them to take it in the evening, to that fiber to kind of help with that blood glucose at nighttime. So we have changed our instructions to people to take it at night. And that one was a little bit sweet. It was kind of a white. I don't know. Did you mind that one?
No, I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
But I remember it was just during the detox week.
Yeah. Yeah. And then some people continue on with it. If they really struggle with getting all their vegetables in, I kind of encourage, you're doing great with getting your veggies in. But some of my patients, they don't want to do the veggies as much. And so they use that to kind of get their grams of fiber in. I throw mine in my coffee in the morning. I'll be honest, I don't always have time to make enough of the vegetables in the morning. But when I'm home, I do. But when I'm running out the door to here, not as good. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything else about the supplements that you wanted to at least kind of tell people about or anything else. You really like the shakes. That's what you're still sticking with.
Yeah, I really like the shakes because, you know, it kind of gives you that satisfaction of a sweetness, but a completeness.
Mm-hmm.
It's there, and you can add, like I say, the peanut butter, the fruit, and things like that with it.
Yeah, you can even bake with the shakes. I don't know if you ever did try any of the baking recipes.
I didn't try any, no.
Yeah, you can bake some muffins and things. So you can have like a chocolate cake. You can make these chocolate muffins and put the stevia, those Lily chocolate chips that have the stevia in them and not the sugar. That makes it really chocolatey and kind of fun. Or if you're just craving chocolate, if you just want to, I don't know if you're a chocolate fan, but just having a little handful of those Lily's chocolate chips, they're easily found in the grocery store. They have kind of the semi-sweet and probably even the darker chocolate ones, but they're made of stevia, so you can have a handful of those and not get into trouble with your sugar. So that's a fun one. Yeah, let's talk a little bit too about our program, the way you entered in. One thing we changed about the program is having it be a hybrid program. it was at one point where we would have everybody kind of sign up by a certain date and take the whole group through the class together via Zoom. We would have weekly Zooms. But I found when people are ready to start the program, they want to start the program and everybody's on a different schedule of life. So we change it to a hybrid where you're getting the education delivered to you via email like you did and with some videos and a little bit of homework and reading. And then you kind of have to text us and kind of check in with us. You definitely had kind of a one-on-one meeting with McCoy more than once to help. But kind of what was your sense of having it delivered that way versus a group class going through it as a group?
You asked me about some other programs that I was in. I went to one number of years ago, and it was all strictly for diabetics. And I mean, we'd sit there, and my wife would go with me. We'd go once a week. And it got to the point, I was just so frustrated because people would come in and they would just literally, they'd be a distraction.
Oh.
I remember one guy coming in, he walked in, he had a mocha and an apple fritter. He brings it into the meeting and he's sitting there eating and drinking this thing. And then he's sitting there telling about the week before he was in the hospital because his glucose reading was over 500.
Oh.
I mean, you know, it goes back to the old saying, you can't fix stupid.
Right.
I mean, you know, so that became frustrating and a distraction. But what I liked about this is every morning I would get up and I would fill out my weight, I'd fill out my glucose reading, and I would fill out the sheet and I would, you know, take a picture of it and text it in to McCoy. And McCoy got back to me every day.
Yeah.
He was great on this whole thing. Every day he was obviously looking at it because he would see something and he would make recommendations about, you know, adjust this, adjust that.
Yep.
And because he actually was getting the results, you know, what was my glucose meeting in the morning? You know, did I lose a pound? Did I lose 2 pounds? Did I lose 4 pounds? Did I gain 2 pounds?
Right.
And, you know, he was making reference to, you know, the different things. You know, are you taking your supplements? I see you have this. A couple times I was missing some of the shakes, like in the morning when I'm on the golf course.
Yep.
And, you know, that's when he mentioned the almonds.
Yep. That's exactly right. Like, if you're going to be doing something and a shake's not doable, we will come up with an alternative.
Exactly.
And work with you because we want you to succeed. So as long as you can have some sort of protein and produce with you in lieu of the shake so that you don't have a big gap between breakfast and lunch, that you have that mid-morning snack. So those of you listening, you do have breakfast, you have a mid-morning snack, which is usually the shake, and then lunch, and then a mid-afternoon snack, which can be the shake again. Or if you're out and about and you're just going to pack your portable protein and produce with you, and then dinner. And then if you need to have, if you're still hungry after dinner, then we are fine with you having another shake or if you need to have some produce. But one of the sayings in the program is protein and fiber at every meal makes losing weight no big deal. So getting that protein and that fiber, meaning your veggies, if you get that in you every 3 to 4 hours when you're awake, you are going to keep that blood glucose stable and you're going to lose the weight.
I think that's an interesting point. You're doing something continuously like every 3 or 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just sitting there waiting for the 7 o'clock breakfast, the 12 o'clock lunch, the 6 o'clock PM dinner.
Right.
And you know, it's when you want something, you need something. So mid morning.
Yep.
Like I'm on a golf course after about the sixth hole, I have a banana, and then I'm on in the back nine, and before I get done, maybe like 1:30, I'm going to have some of the almonds.
Yep. Perfect. Yeah, I was just going to say, cheese sticks are portable and easy. Yeah, there's lots of options, and hope we want people to find ways to make this work for them, because they're going to be traveling and doing multiple things. So, yeah, in fact, one of the things we've noticed with people, you haven't hit this yet in your journey. I have had some people who've been living the principles of the TLS program for over a year. One lady in particular, I think she lost 53 pounds in a year. And so, and that's about right. Like it'll start to stabilize where you're just losing about a pound a week over time. And she did have some plateau weeks and reached out to me. And I said, well, can you write down kind of what you've been eating and send me a little bit of, so I can see what's going on. She wasn't getting enough protein. And once we figured that out, once we calculated her protein number, she and added more protein in, then the weight started dropping again. So that was a big lesson again. And we try to hit it hard in the 8-week program, but there's so much information we're giving people. But we do have a week where we try to hone in on protein. And so we do try to help you figure out what's your protein number and are you tracking your protein so that we make sure you don't hit that plateau. That hasn't happened to you, but we were just chatting earlier about trying to figure out your protein number and just kind of being mindful of that. And it sounds like even just what you experienced when you went out with your buddies, like, you know, protein's a pretty big deal. I think it's on your on your radar at this point.
Well, you know, I think the other nice thing about this is, as I said earlier, I've been on other programs, and there, much of the solution is one size fits all. Mm. Everything's the same. See, what was nice going through this, especially with having daily contact basically for 8 weeks with McCoy, it becomes more of an individual program. It's what you were just saying. What works for me and what works for somebody else is different.
Yes.
And that's critical.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's principles, but we got to kind of work with each person, and each person has some different health issues. I've had people who have thyroid issues that make weight gain an issue for them. So having to deal with more of the hormonal side of things. But yeah, we definitely give lots of feedback. And I think when you look at health coaching, which is kind of what this program is, it's very expensive if you were to meet with us one-on-one to deliver all that content. So we made it so that the education comes through email and videos, but then you get your whatever questions you had answered, you know, it sounds like you would reach out and we'd get right back to you.
Yep.
So we didn't have to charge an inordinate amount to do the program. What did you think about in terms of the cost?
Well, the cost wasn't that bad at all, because we probably saved money because we were not going out to restaurants and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were actually eating at home and eating better. And I mean, you know, it's just, we're retired and, you know, at our stage in life, I mean, it's kind of nice not to have to fix a meal.
Right.
But anymore, it's got to the point, it's a joint effort. We produce the meals together. And, you know, it's just been really nice. It's been kind of interesting the way we've learned how to change how we produce meals. Like I said, a lot of ground turkey, which you can really do some good things with. The chicken, fish.
Yeah.
Fish has been something good at, you know, you find different recipes. One of the things I do is I go to Costco and I get the sea bass.
Oh, yeah.
And the sea bass is a mild white fish. And really, the way it's prepared is it's baked. And it just has olive oil, salt, and pepper. And I think it's some Italian seasoning on it.
Mm.
And it is a good, flaky, a good tasting fish.
Yeah, I like the white, mild fishes, but halibut's gotten so expensive.
Oh, yeah. This is about half the cost. So expensive.
Well, what about physical therapy? And I know you were kind of contemplating knee replacement and kind of trying to get those things lined up. Where are you at with some of that stuff, if I can ask?
My goal now is to not have a knee replacement.
Okay.
As I said earlier, I've not experienced any pain.
Yeah.
The only thing I want to do, I've got to do it, and this is in 2023, is I want to start doing more leg exercises. Fortunately, where we have a beautiful fitness center. I want to start doing all kinds of bicycling, leg exercise to strengthen up the muscles around that knee, because, I mean, I'm bone on bone on the inside of the knee.
Oh, that's amazing that you're not having, I mean, I'm floored. Yeah.
And I mean, the outside is fine, but, you know, I'm just kind of tipped on both knees, but I don't want to have a knee replacement.
It doesn't sound like you need it right now,
no,
for sure.
It's not hurting.
Yep.
Not hurting, and I'm not taking ibuprofen or Tylenol. Hopefully, I don't have to do that.
Yeah. Did you find, I know McCoy, so we do offer, just so our listeners know, part of the program, we offer kind of a full body fitness assessment at the beginning and at the end. So we kind of test your strength, upper body, lower body, core, balance, and try to help put together some kind of more just generic exercise programs if people don't know what to do and where to start. But you were very much already engaged with what you were doing at Jubilee Golf and the pool and that kind of thing. But what did you think of the fitness assessment? Did you think that was helpful information?
Yeah, it was good information because it had never been done.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of set up a benchmark on what I can do and where I can, you know, move forward. You know, the other thing that's kind of interesting too is it's just losing the size and things like that, I can actually reach part of my back and scratch it.
Woohoo!
Yay. Yeah, I can actually get around there. It's just before I couldn't. It was just like, you know, your arm would go this far, but not the other part.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good to have, you know, somebody else look at that.
Yeah, he does. I think we have found more and more people that are doing the fitness assessments that they're surprised sometimes some of the lack of mobility, right? The different flexibility components of that exam are, it's like, I forgot, I can't actually reach back there, and then how to work on that. Yeah, it's good information, I think, for people to go through.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, is that one of the doctors or nurses said to me one time, they said, see if you can get to the point when you stand up, that you can do so without using the arms of the chair or the table you're sitting next to. Just be able to stand up.
Yeah.
Let your legs do the work.
Yep.
And it's just been interesting because, yes, I can do that now.
Great. Oh, that's great. Yeah. As we kind of wrap up a little bit, what was the most helpful thing that you probably learned in the TLS program? It might be hard to pick one thing.
Well, but I think probably the biggest thing is that there are things that I need to eat. It's not a matter of what not to eat, but it's a matter of what to eat. And the protein and the fiber
are
just critical.
Yeah.
And to really cut down the sugar, that was a big one. Anybody pay a particular attention to reading labels?
Yeah.
Because when you start looking at the labels, I mean, thank God the government does a lot of stupid things, but one of the nice things they did is they require labels.
Yes.
And honest to God, you start looking at, you know, fructose and sugar and things like that, and it's in everything.
Yeah.
And it's just how they make it taste better, how they get you to buy more and eat more.
Yep. We do have a segment on reading labels, a whole video, and kind of, I liked the rule, the Fabulous Five rule. I don't know if you remember that, but basically you want on a label, if you're going to eat something that has a label, you want more than 5 grams of protein and more than 5 grams of fiber. So those two, you want more than if you can. And then but less than 5 grams of sugar and less than 5 grams of fat, and your net carbs, you want to try to stay in the single digits per serving. And that can be really challenging. So, you know, I kind of go with like, well, if it's 10, 11, 12, that's still not bad. So like those Kind bars, like you've seen those Kind bars,
mm-hmm.
They're advertised as low glycemic on the label, and you have to pass that, some of that testing. And so that is the legitimate low glycemic snack. You can have a Kind bar, but if you flip it over and read it, you'll see what I'm talking about. You want that rule of fives, I think, just sticks in people's mind of more than 5 grams of protein, more than 5 grams of fiber is possible. And then the other, the sugar less than 5 grams, the fat less than 5 grams, and the net carbs, you're hardly ever going to get five, but I kind of go with single digits or low doubles. And then, because we talked about this earlier, if you have too many carbohydrates, your body can only use so much of that at one time. So it's going to store it as fat.
Right.
And for some of us, this would be me, your body will turn that extra carbohydrates into bad cholesterol. So that's my issue. I don't have the fat gain, but I do. I'm on that border where the doctor every year almost wants to put me on something. And I just keep staying on that core product that keeps helping me with the, you know, not kind of changing that carbohydrate into a way that isn't utilized into the bad cholesterol. And then I keep trying to eat this kind of lifestyle. Now, am I perfect at it? No, but I stay within it.
Yeah.
So I can stay off the medication. I don't want to get on a statin.
No. Stay off of medications.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, you know, unfortunately, when you get on medications, they seem to do other things to our bodies.
Yes.
It's like when I went on metformin, I then found out that metformin depletes your B12.
Yes.
So I go on metformin, then I have to go on B12. And I just recently said I'd like to get off of metformin to get off of B12. And I got some pushback from the medical community because metformin is a good medicine. At least that's what they say. Okay, but it doesn't mean at some point in time, because the one VA nurse I'm working at, she's kind of in my...
She's on your side.
She's on my side. She said we might be able to get you off of that.
Yeah, I think if you keep trucking down the... It sounds like at the beginning of the year, you're going to do another push.
I want to lose another 40 pounds.
Yep, I know you can.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to lose another 40 pounds and also get to the point that I'm back walking the 18 holes of golf. Because what I found is I play better golf when I walk rather than getting in out of the cart.
Yeah, amazing how you movement and... Yeah. Moving around and getting blood flow, you're looser and ready to swing. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. What is something you would want to say to someone who's thinking, I'm not sure that this will work for me, or this sounds like a lot of work, I don't know that I want to do it?
Well, I've been around a lot of people. I know people right now that are diabetic. I know people that they say it's not the time. Well, we're all going to die. So at some point in time, we have to sit there and say, what do we have to do to live and live a better life?
Yeah.
I think that's the critical part is what's there? I mean, this has been kind of a fun little ride because I'm around a lot of senior citizen guys that, you know, overweight, drink too much, a lot of them smoke and everything else. And they're looking at me and they're saying, my God, you've lost 40 pounds. I'm getting positive encouragement from them.
Sure.
Just keep it up, keep it up. And I mean, and I think that's the key to it is that we are who we are because we want to be.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And I used that in my career many times. People would sit there and be upset about where they were, but we all make decisions.
Yep.
And we have to make decisions that are about us.
Yep.
And not necessarily about others. You know, we have to take into consideration others, but we have to make what's important for me.
Yeah. And I think I always come back to this advice I got from somewhere in my business coaching world, but I think it has to do with just people in general. It's like people are looking for a reason to either move forward with a program like this or an excuse not to.
Exactly.
It's one or the other. There's a reason to move forward or there's some excuse. Either way, but I think this program works so well for so many people and especially for the diabetic population. I hope we can really make an impact in our community with this. And I thank you for sharing your journey with us. And I'm excited to see how it keeps on going for you. Lastly, we always wrap up our podcast with a couple rapid fire questions. What is something in the Pacific Northwest that you've not done yet that's on your bucket list? Oh. Or that you just hope to do that you haven't been able to do yet in this area?
Yeah, I don't know. We've been here 30 years, and I'll tell you what, we've done a lot.
Pretty much done it all, huh?
Yeah, we've gone up to Canada and played golf, and we've done the train ride to Portland and to Vancouver, and we're always going over to Central Washington because our son and grandsons are over there, and just want to play a little more golf on Eastern Washington in the summer.
I was just going to say, you sound like you know the best golfing around.
Yeah, I want to play Gamble Sands, and I will do that in 2023.
All right.
So that's probably it.
Yeah. How about your favorite restaurant locally that you feel like you can order successfully with now that you've been through this program?
Oh, we love McNamara's up in DuPont.
Oh, okay.
You know, an Irish pub.
Okay.
And you go up there, and I mean, you know, I can get a buffalo chicken salad. You know, they have some really good other meals.
Yeah.
You know, they have good fish and chips.
Yeah.
We just love the place.
Cool. I haven't been there.
We haven't been there for at least a week.
At least a week. I love it. All right. And then favorite recipe from TLS?
I'm going to say it's the vegetable soup.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think that one's my favorite too.
And the other one would probably be I make a stuffed pepper. There's one in there with tuna, but I didn't use the tuna. I used turkey.
I was going to say, you did the ground turkey, didn't you?
Did the ground turkey. And I mean, I have some of those in the refrigerator right now.
Oh, those are good. Yeah. That's a good one. I haven't done that in a while.
The only thing that I recommend if you do that one,
yeah,
just add some diced tomatoes.
Okay.
Put a little more moisture in it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it gets a little dry.
Yeah. Ground turkey can do that.
But the vegetable soup is the one that says it's a lifesaver.
Yeah. I agree with you. I love that. It's a staple at my house. Yep. Great. Thanks so much, Tom.
Thank you.
All right. Until next time, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, brought to you by Penrose and Associates Physical Therapy. If you want some free tips to implement right away on various problems like knee pain, back pain, running injuries, and many more issues, then jump on over to penrosept.com and download the free report that fits your needs. You will receive helpful tips right away and have the choice to email in for further questions and set up a free phone consultation. You can reach us at 360-456-1444 and info@penrosept.com. You can stay connected with us at stayhealthysouthsound.com and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast.